Page Chavav, almost midway in the page. 26A2, Chavav Amid Aleph, where it says the word Ubishtar. It's the first word on the line. In the Mishnah discussed that you can acquire Nechosim Sheyashel Machrayis, which in simple English means land. You can acquire with Kesef, Shtar, and Chazaka. Okay? Tangible items, you can only acquire with Meshicha, pulling it or picking it up, the Mepharshim say. So, the Mishnah was the Gemara so far was discussing that how do we know you could acquire land with money? So, the Gemara brought a whole bunch of proofs, and then Rav said a din, the last piece of Gemara, Rav said a din, that the only time you could be kaina with money is in a place where you don't write a shtar. But if the custom was to write a document to acquire it, money itself would not acquire land. And then the Gemara says that Avidi made a deal. You could do it this way or this way, so then either way is good. But officially, in a place where the minig was only to be kaina karka with shtar, you can't be kaina with kesef. But if there's no minig, then you could be kaina with kesef, like the Mishnah said. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Ubishtar, how do you acquire? The Mishnah said you could acquire land with a document. What does it mean, a document? I write over to you, I'm selling you this land, I'm giving you this land. So that's a form of a kinyan. So the Gemara says, Minolon, from where do we know in Torah that you can acquire land with a document? We have to learn it out from a pasuk. So Gemara says like this, if you're going to say a pasuk quoted before, so to the Jews, write, when you're buying land, write it in a book, meaning in a document, and sign Edim. And before the Gemara said that that was time to prove later on, when the Jews would come back after the 70 years of Golus, the Jews would be able to prove that they owned the land. But that doesn't mean the shtar was a kinyan. It doesn't mean the shtar acquired it. It means the shtar was a proof. So Gemara says, "For amet shtar ayah ba'amahu." We just got through saying before in the Gemara that the document was only to prove it, not as a kinyan. So Gemara says, basically the question is, from where do we learn that shtar is a kinyan in a field? So the Gemara says, "Ela mehacha," from a pasuk that says, "Va'ekach es sefer hamikne." I will take the document of acquisition. So what do you see from there? Sefer, meaning a shtar, is a form of acquisition. Amish Shmuel, so Shmuel said, Lai shanu el shtar matana. Shmuel says it a different thing than Rav, in fact. Shmuel says that when does the Mishnah say shtar is a kinyan? Only by a gift. Aval b'mecher, but when it comes to money, the document is not enough until you pay money. So Mepharshim explained why. Because if you're selling the land, the guy wants his money. So until you give him the money, he's not really giving over his land yet. If it's a gift, then I'm giving you a gift, so I don't expect money. So the second I give you the title, the shtar to the property, or I write in the shtar, I'm giving you this as a gift, the din is your kaina. But by mecher, Shmuel says, shtar is not enough until you give the money.
What is the case of the... What if I don't give the money?
Oh, 1 second.
If I don't give the money, but I have an agreement that I'm going to give you something else, not the money.
If the guy accepts it...
The guy accepted.
Any kinyan that you accept is good. But 1 second. Let's see in the Gemara. We're not done. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Motzev Rav Amnuna, Rav Amnuna asks the question. Bishtar Keitzad, in the Braisa says the following. How do you acquire land with a document? Kosev ala niyor, ala cheres, you write on a piece of paper, or you write upon a piece of earthenware. You know, they had broken earthenware vessels that would just write documents on. And he says, Alpha B Sha'im by Shava Pruta, even though this document is worthless, nevertheless, The din is Sada, and what does he write? Sada mechurulach, Sada nesunulach. He says clearly, my land is sold to you. My field is given to you. Hareza mechura unesuna. It's given and sold. So what does this Brisa say? That even the document was worthless, nevertheless, if you write on a piece of paper, I'm selling you my field, the Mishnah says it's a good kinyan, even without money. So why does Shmuel say you need money to finalize the kinyan? So he says like this, Hu meisiv lo, Rav Hamnuna asked the question, and he answered the question. It's speaking, B'meicha sadeu mepnei ra'os, the Brisa is speaking, when a guy sold a field, because the field became junky. Became a poor quality field. Over there, the Braisa says, even if you don't give money, the document is enough. Why? Because the land is so bad, the seller doesn't want the buyer to change his mind. So over there, as soon as he gives him the document, he gives him the field, even though the guy didn't give him money yet. In a regular case where there's a normal field, so we assume the seller doesn't want to give over the field until he gets his money. But when it's a lousy deal, a lousy land, the seller is happy with just to sell it, to get rid of it, so then he gives it over even though there's no money given.
How we know that he's the owner, Rabbi? No possible. He said, I want to give you the land. I want to give you this. How do I know this is the owner?
He has to prove that he's the owner.
We on the paper shows he's the owner.
If a guy lives there 3 years... What do you mean on the paper it shows?
On paper shows he's the owner.
Which paper?
Document of the city of the whatever.
If people live in a house and they're witnesses, a guy lived in a house for 3 years, he has a chazaka, an established thing.
I'm talking about land.
I'm talking about land. House land. And land is the same thing.
No. Land is the field, is empty land.
Let me ask you a question. You have a pen in your pocket. You have a pen in your pocket?
Yes. Okay.
Now, in front of this class, I take the pen out of your pocket and I say it's mine. What's the halacha?
You could say.
Do I keep it or do I have to give it back?
You have to give it back.
Why?
It's not yours.
How do you know it's yours?
Huh?
How do you know it's yours?
Because it was in my property.
Oh, it was in your pocket.
Yeah.
There's a rule that kol ma'ase yad tachas yad adam shalayu. There's a rule in the Gemara. There's a chazaka. There's an established halachic concept that if you have something, it's yours. Therefore, if I come and take it away from you, I'm the gan, if not you. Right? Now, by land, how do you prove land is yours? Either there's a deed in Beis Din, even in the olden times. Beis Din knew this was his field, because he used to record a lot of the shtaris of acquisition were recorded in Beis Din. Beis Din kept them. Or, halachically, if a guy lives in a field 3 years and he says it's his field, so then the din is that it's his land. So, Alpi din, you're allowed to assume if somebody's selling you a piece of land, you can assume that it's his. You have cases in the Gemara, especially in Bava Basra, a guy sells land, and then later a guy says, what do you mean you sold the land? It's my land, who gave you the right to sell it?
That's correct.
So then you have to, then you have to prove. But as a rule, what's yours is yours. Okay. No, you need a chazaka with a taina. If a guy lives in somebody's field, house, for 3 years, yeah? And then somebody comes to him and says, what are you doing in my land? He says, I don't know, nobody was living here, so I moved in. Even though he was there 10 years, it's not a chazaka. When is a chazaka? The Gemara in Bava Basra, Cheskes Sabbatim says, when is a chazaka chazaka? If a guy comes over to you and says, what are you doing in this house? It's mine. He says, what do you mean? I bought it from you. He says, prove the document. So the Gemara says, up to 3 years, you have to hold on to documents. After 3 years, you don't have to hold on to the document. So if you can prove that you lived there for 3 years, the house is yours. But it's only if you say, I bought it from you, or you gave it to me. You can't say, I don't know, it was an empty lot, so I just moved in. That's not a taina.
What happened The man lived there 10 years.
Yeah.
The owner, the real owner, who never come to claim on this land, he died.
So the kids...
Nobody come to claim on this land. And after a few years, one of the family decided, or somebody come to them and said, you know what, the land that...
He has to prove it. He has to prove it. Okay, let's not get it. Rav Ashi says like this. B'matana b'keish litnola. You know when the Braisa says that if you sell the land with a shtar, it's good? Not by selling. The guy gave it as a gift. The Braisa says, Loshin mecher, sodei mechurolach, my field is sold to you. Liyapis is keichet, to give him a stronger power. What does it mean? It means like this. We learned last week that if I sell you a field today, I sell you a field today, and I owe somebody money from before, and it was a written loan, okay, Mova Bishtar, there's a lien on the property before, so the Malva, the lender, goes to the guy and says, you owe me money. He says, I don't have any money. So he's allowed to go to the buyer and take away the field, because there's a lien on the field from the time
he bought
of the loan, which was before the time of the buying. So it says, that only applies to selling. Why? Because when you buy a land, you have a responsibility to check it out. And because it was a milva bishtar, there's a commotion. People know that. Everybody knows that, that there's a lien on the land. But by matana, by gift, there's no... The guy, I give you a gift of field, yeah? How are you supposed to go check out if there was a lien on the field or not? I'm giving you all a gift. You don't have to go check it out. Right? So therefore the din is... The lender cannot go to the guy that got the gift. Or if he does, if the lender does go to the buyer can go back to the seller and say, give me back the land that the guy took away from me. Right? What happens if I gave you a gift? A land. And then I had a lien on the property, and somebody took it away from you. Can you come back to me and say you want another gift? No. Right? If I sell you land...
No, if you give me as a gift...
No, what I'm saying, if I sell you land, and then the lender comes and takes away the land from you, you come back to me and get a new piece of land. Right? But if I give you a gift, and the lender takes away the land because there's a lien on the property, and he could, because there is a lien even by gifts, there's a lien on the property, you can't come back to me and say, hey, they took away my gift, give me another one. Right? Therefore, the Gemara Shmuel, what's the name? Ravashi says like this. He gave it to him as a gift, but he wrote, I sold it to you. Why? It's such a gift that if it gets taken away from you, you can come back to me and get another one. That's why he used the expression selling. That the guy that received the gift has the power that if the field is taken away from him, he can go back to the cell and get another gift. But really he meant it as a gift. So therefore the Gemara says, Shmuel's din stays. Shmuel said a din that if you by sale, shtar is not enough of a kinyan, you must give money. Right? Because the guy wants his money. If it's a matona, shtar is good. So the Gemara asked the question from a braisa. The braisa says, if the guy says, sadeh mechur olach, it's good, even without money. So Shmuel, Rav Ashi answered, no. That braisa is speaking about a gift. It says sold. He wants to show the receiver of the gift. It's so strong as if I sold it to you. And therefore, if it gets taken away from you, you can come back to me and get another field. Okay.
Why is it that in a sale, if it's taken, you can go back to get a check?
You could. I'm saying you could.
But I thought it's your responsibility to see if it's
here. Yeah. it's still a hassle to, for a field to get taken away from you, you have to go back another one. If it was an oral loan, no documentation, okay, there's only a lien on the properties which are not sold. In other words, we mentioned this last week, a bunch of you were not here. Eved leiv al ish malva. The borrower, I'm speaking correct English, not yeshiva English. The borrower is a slave of the lender. And yeshiva would say, could you borrow me money? You know. So, the borrower is a slave of the lender. Which means, halachically, at the time of the loan, every property that he owns, tangible land, is collateral for this loan. Okay? Now, it's a machlekes, if it's minatayr, midrabanu, which way, but just to explain the concept of it. Therefore, if you owe me $1,000 and you don't have the money, I go to your tangible items. Or I go to your land that you have. What happens if you don't have any land? You sold it all. I go to any one of the buyers and I take away the land. The value of my loan. I mean, you can't take away $1 million property for $100 loan, right? I take away land of the value of my of the loan. Correct?
Correct.
If it's in writing. If it's an oral loan, even if they're witnesses, but it's not written, the din is I can only collect from land that was not sold. Any land that was sold, the Chachamim say, or the Torah, the Machlokes, you cannot go to that land and collect it. You cannot go to the buyer. Why? There's a lien on the land. Okay? So the Gemara says like this. Sometimes it's the buyer's fault, sometimes it's not the buyer's fault. If you buy land, you have an obligation to check if there's a lien on the land. The only way you could check if there's a written loan. Because a written loan has witnesses signed, there was a cipher, there was a written, you know. So, it's a commotion. People know about it. So therefore, the buyer was supposed to know that there was a lien on the property when he bought it. So therefore, tough luck buyer. The land is going to be taken away. You can go back to the owner and get your money back. Or another piece of land. But right now, it's still a hassle. You're going to get thrown out of your land. If it's an oral loan, because there was no commotion about it, the buyer does not have the responsibility to check it out, because how can he? So therefore, the Chacham have pity on him, according to one opinion. And the Chacham say, you know what? You can't go collect from a buyer for an oral loan. That's all. So to speak, the buyer's fault, by a documented loan, he should have found out that there was a lien on the property.
How could he show you?
Because people talk.
The only time you know if you have a lien on this property, then when you go to the land department and you ask...
How big do you think the cities were in those days? The Yentis all knew who what did what.
One more thing really is happening today. The man wants to give you the land. There is a lien on it, but we don't know the lien. And where this land worth $1 million today? We are going to build there $100 million on this land. The other one can come claim, this is my land, I don't care if you build here $100 million.
He gets back the land.
But he's already building there.
So he gets back whatever the price of the loan was.
Reward. He said, this is my land and I...
No, it's
land.
The value.
No.
No,
I
no.
Okay.
No, that you can't do.
Wait, Rabbi, by law, he can say, this is my land. If you build,
by which law?
If, huh?
Which law?
Okay.
is it because you can have that's the best
law?
No, in Torah law, the regular law, but
he can go to any one of the buyers.
No, forget about the insurance. The title insurance means the boo-boo. Okay,
he bought the land.
He can go and get anyone he wants. There's a lien on all the property.
No,
for himself, whatever one he wants best. Okay. Then the Mishnah said another thing. You acquire a land by chazaka. Okay? You do an act on the field that shows ownership. So the Gemara says, Minolam, from where do we learn this out? That's how you acquire land. Omer Kra, the Pasuk says. So then the Gemara said, Minolam, how do we know chazaka is a kinyan? Omer Chizki said, Omer Kra, because the Pasuk says like this. Veshvu ba'orechem asher tefastem, dwell in the cities that you have seized. So what do you see from there? It says like this. Live in the cities that you seized. B'meta fastem, which the Gemara learns like this. How did you get it? Be yeshiva, by dwelling in it. So you see that there's a kinyan of living in a field or living in a house that shows a sign of ownership. That's one way of learning. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, the yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel learned, V'rishtem Eisev Yeshavtem Ba. It says in the Chumash, in Virishtam Aisa, when it speaks about Bikurim, come to the land, Virishtam Aisa, you'll inherit it, Vishaftim Ba. Right? You're going to inherit the land from the Canaanites. So it says, B'meh Yerashtim, how are you going to inherit it? Meaning, how are you going to acquire the land from the Canaanites? Be yeshiva, by living there. So therefore, the Mishnah finishes a proof that you could buy land by Kesef, Shtar, and Chazakim. But it's interesting, one second. So far in the Gemara, the Gemara said a few interesting things, though. According to Rav, you can only acquire with money if they don't write documents. If they write documents, you need a document also. Shmuel says, in a place where they pay money, you cannot acquire with a shtar until you pay money, unless if it's a gift. And Chazaka, you do something in the field, you put up a fence, a wall, you do something in the field that shows a sign of ownership. The Gemara learns out from Psukim, these are the three ways you acquire land. Okay? Then the Gemara continues and says like this. And says in the Mishnah, V'she'en lo machrayis, movable property, that's the definition of en lo machrayis, ein iknoim ele b'meshicha. You can only acquire tangible items by pulling them. But before we learned in the Gemara, picking it up for sure is good, or al-mashal, I sell you an animal, sometimes you can give over the reins, give over the mane, M-A-N-E, to hold, or the Gemara said, Meshicha. You hit the animal, it goes 4 amas, 6 feet, you acquire it. You pull the animal 6 feet, it's yours. You call the animal and it comes to you, you acquire it. So the Gemara says, Minolon, how do I know that you can acquire something by Meshicha, by pulling it? Tichsiv, because it says in the Pasuk like this, V'chisim kerumim kolam misachom. If you sell a sale to your friend, or you acquired from the hand of your friend, what does the Torah use the expression hand to hand? Dover anikna miyad liyad, something given over from hand to hand. What does it mean? You take it to yourself. So that's how we learn out the tangible items you can acquire by giving it over, pulling it, taking a basic sign of ownership. So now the Gemara asks a question like this. Or Rabbi Yechanan, according to Rabbi Yechanan, that holds that Dov Dvarteira Mois Kainis, that Minateira money acquires tangible items, Ma'ikala Meimar, how do you answer it? Because according to Rabbi Yechanan, the Gemara thought that only money you could acquire. Only with money you could acquire. So he says, so if that's the case, according to Rabbi Yechon says, Minatayr only money acquires. So how can the Chachamim say that Mashiach also acquires it? So it says, Tana Takanta Drabbanu Kosim. The Chachamim is talking about Mashiach as a rabbinic kinyan. Meaning like this. According to Rabbi Yechon, money is for sure a biblical kinyan for tangible items. And the Mishnah says, Meshicha is also a kinyan. rabbinically. Even though they learn it out from a pasuk, but it's of rabbinic nature. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, money is the kinyan, and rabbinically you can acquire it with...
There's no pasuk for money.
No. They learn it out from a pasuk, but not... Not in this Gemara.
It's a from
the rise of Baratera,
Maris
Ganesh. Right.
What does it say, Sefer
HaMikna? Huh? What does he do with Sefer
HaMikna? It's a Sefer
HaMikna. What are you saying?
Before note 30, in the parenthesis.
30?
Before, end of Shinai.
No. Yeah. No, according to you mean how Rabbi Yechina learned it?
What is that?
Oh, Sefer Mikna is a commentary on the Gemara. So you said Pasuk and Chumash Sefer Mikna. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, but the Chacham a lot of times say no.
And I still on the part of the pasuk, we wish them Isa, Bishat Tam Ba. It should be the opposite, because they learn out, but man, we wish them Bishiva. If the pasuk did say, we wish them Ba.
No, what the Gemara is saying is like this. We wish them Isa, how do you inherit it? We wish them Ba when you live in it. That's the way you inherit it.
I would learn that if the pasuk said, you sat in it, and then you inherited it. Wouldn't that be.
No, because first they have to wish them over here. Means conquering it from the Canaanites. So first, yeah, I understand, but first you have to conquer it, and then you can be kain it. So you can't be kain it before you kill out the Canaanites. So if you reach the Maisa, you're going to inherit it from the Canaanites, mean by killing them. And then how do you actually physically acquire it for yourself? You shaft them. You need to make a kinyan.
But you reach them, if it really just means conquering them, it should be bamed with a sword.
No. The Gemara says, but how are you going to inherit the land that it becomes yours? There's two aspects. You got to get rid of the goyim, and then how do you make it yours? The guy walks in Davos and kills the owner, the land doesn't automatically become his. He still has to acquire it.
In this case...
Yeah, they have to get rid of the Canaanites.
Why they don't have cake?
It was promised to Avram.
One reason is because you didn't bring. Hello?
Huh?
You didn't bring.
You bring cake.
There's a rule in the shul that's 32 years old. You have an idea? Do it. That's the rule in the shul. What can I tell you? Okay, then the Mishnah said, and this is a very important thing. The Mishnah said, the last thing of the Mishnah was, you can acquire tangible items through acquiring land. Okay? That's what it said. Nechasim she'en la machrayis. Movable, tangible items could be acquired through land. Okay, that's what the Mishnah said. So the Gemara says, Mino hani mili, from where do we know that I can acquire tangible items through acquiring land. So it says, Amr Chizkiya says, Amr Krah, because the Pasuk says, Vayiten lohem aviyah matonis, their father gave him gifts, im arei mitzuris b'Yehuda, together with 4 to 5 cities in Yehuda. So from there you see from the Pasuk, the Pasuk says like this, the father gave him gifts, mean tangible items, through or with the fortified cities. Which implies that how can you acquire gifts? Through the land. Through the land you can acquire the gifts. So Gemara says, the Shaila is like this now. Be'inyan tziburim or lay. Does the gift need to be on the land or can it be somewhere else? The Mishnah says like this, if I'm selling you land and soda, by acquiring the land, you acquire the soda. Right? So the Gashayla now of the Gemara is, does the soda need to be on the land? Or can it be somewhere else? And just through acquiring the land, I can acquire the soda wherever it may be. That's the Gemara Shaila. Amen Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said, Toshma, come I'll prove it to you. says in the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva Eimer, Rabbi Kiva says, Karka koshuhu chayoviz bepeo bikurim. Even the smallest amount of land. Huh? What?
Yeah, which page are the rabbi read?
The bottom of Chavov. Yeah.
Last line.
You went too far already. Last line here. Karka koshu chayoviz bepeo ubibikurim. The smallest amount of land is obligated to separate peya for the poor people, to give bikurim, and lichtiv olav pruzbul, to write a pruzbul. Okay? Now, what's a pruzbul? This is a... No. Huh? A loophole. The Torah says, when it comes Shemitah, the sabbatical year, all debts fall off. Right? All debts fall off. So, and the Torah warns you, you shouldn't have this evil thought in your mind. Shemitah is coming up. Why should I lend you money? Shemitah nullifies all the debts. Why in the world should I lend you money before Shemitah? So the Torah says, don't be like that mamzer. Don't be a wicked person. Lend the guy money anyway. That's what the Torah says. So in the days of the Rabbi Hillel, Hillel saw that the people, they were still Jewish, they stopped lending money before Shemitah. He said, why should I lend you money if I'm not going to get it back? And the Torah calls them wicked people, so it'll be wicked, but you know, they said, I'm not going to lend you money. So Hillel came up with a brainstorm. He made what's called pruzbul. What's a pruzbul? A pruzbul is that a guy hands over all his debts to Beis Din. Before, let's say, I have 10 people owing me money. Comes before Shemitah. I say, Beis Din, guess what? All my loans belong to you. And the din is, the court loans are collectible. But Hillel said,
Why?
Because the Torah says only your brother's loans, meaning individuals. If it's the court, the Torah says it doesn't apply. But Hillel made that when does pruzbul affect? When can you do a pruzbul? If the land is securing the debt. When the land secures the debt. Now, how much land do you need to be able to use for pruzbul to secure the debt? So Rabbi Kiva says, a drop of land. Koshuhu. The minutest amount of land is obligated in peya, and you have to give bikurim, and you write a pruzbul on it. And then the smallest amount of land. And it says, and they explain why. Because Hillel said like this, most people don't give unsecured loans. What do we pay? The people are going to stop lending money. You know what? So he said, you know what? They're going to make a principle when there's a secured loan. When there's land. So Bekiva comes along and says, the smallest amount of land is good for a principle. Now. And then it says, V'liknes ima nechosim she'en l'machrayis. And also, the smallest amount of land is good to acquire tangible items with it. Okay? So what's going on here in the Gemara? The Gemara asked the Shaila, we said in the Gemara that you acquire tangible items through land, right? So the Gemara Shaila was, does the tangible item have to be on the land or not? So Rabbi Yosef says, look what Rabbi Kiva says. Rabbi Kiva says that any amount of land is enough to acquire tangible items, right? How much tangible items can you put on a centimeter of land? How many tangible items can you put already on a centimeter of land? What are you going to acquire already with it?
Just
so obviously, Rav Yosef wants to prove that you don't need the stuff on the land. It could be somewhere else. And just by acquiring a drop of land, you acquire the tangible item also, the metaltalin. Right? So that's what you see from Rabbi Kiva. Because Rabbi Kiva says, karka koshu, the smallest amount of land, is enough to acquire metaltolin, what can you acquire from a drop of land? So Gemara says, no. Oh, he says, if you're telling me that it has to be on the land, what can you put on the land that's a drop?
Anyway, he was talking about Peah, which is on it. It is on it. Peah and Nechast and Pikurim.
Yeah, but then over there, it could be, if something grows, you have to give Peah.
So it is on that only land.
Yeah, but the question, the Gemara thought, you're not acquiring one kernel of grain. Metalton, you could be kind of something else. So Gemara says like this: Tirgama Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna Kamed Rav Yosef. So Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna answered Rav Yosef. It's speaking Shenoz Bamachat. He stuck a needle in the land. Now a needle doesn't take up any place. So the Mishnah says, according to Rabbi Kiva, that even if you want to acquire a needle, you can acquire by sticking it on a drop of land. So therefore, it's possible to acquire metaltolin. Listen to this. Amalei Rav Yosef says, Kabastan, you're annoying me with this answer. Ich botan lashmine machat. Do you think the Tan has to go out of his way to teach us about needles? Come on, be realistic. Is that what the Mishnah is talking about? When the Mishnah says you can acquire tangible items through land, you think he's talking about a needle? Come on, don't be stupid. Ravashi defended the other guy, and he said, "Man Lemala, who tells you to like Talaba Marganisa? Maybe he put a pearl on the needle. The Shavya Elif Zuzah is worth $1,000. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about a needle with a pearl on it, a diamond on it. So maybe it is worth a lot of money." So we still don't have an answer to the question. By the way, does the metal need to be on the land, or could it be off the land? Tashma, come, I'll bring you a proof. Sounds like this. Maisi b'madoini echod, there's a guy from the city of Madan, Shahoyim b'Yerushalayim, he was in Yerushalayim, Shahoyim metal in harbi, he had a large quantity of movable goods. Obikesh litnam b'matan, and he wanted to give it as a gift. He was in Yerushalayim. The stuff was in Modin. So he said, how can I get, I want to give a gift to all these things, how can I do it? Amrulay, ein lei takana, achi yikne magabi karka. The only way you can give away the tangible items as a gift is if you acquire land with the guy. Give him land, and through the land, he can acquire all your gifts. What did he do? Halach v'lokach beisela samach Yerushalayim. He bought a base seller. Now, the Gemara thinks now, a seller's a coin, like a nickel, yeah? He bought land the size of a nickel. That's what Gemara thought now it means. He bought base seller, he bought a piece of land the size of a seller, a coin. Quarter, whatever. And he said like this, Tzveini, the northern part of the land, is Lepleini to this guy. And together with the land, I'm giving him 100 sheep and 100 barrels. And umeis, and then the guy died. After he gave away the gift, he died. So now the question is, did the guy he gave the gift to, did he acquire the stuff or not? So the Gemara says, umeis, v'kaimu es devarav. And the Chachamim kept the kinyan a good deal. The guy acquired everything that he gave him.
Maybe the land is bitul
b'shuk. So he says like this: "V'yamer binyan siburim ba." If you're telling me you need to have the stuff on the land, beisel al my chazer. What can you put on a seller piece of land? That's what the Gemara thought. Now that is much the size of a coin. So obviously you see from there that you don't need the stuff on the land. Even if it's in a different place, through acquiring land, you can acquire the tangible items also. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Misav is beisela, sela mamish? What do you think, it's the size of a coin we're talking about? No. The nafish tuva. It's a very big piece of land he bought. Why does it call beisela? Because my car is sela. The kashik kesela, the land was hard like rock. Meaning, it was awful land.
Not good for
Not good for planting. But it was very cheap. So who tells you the story was that the guy had the money, the gifts one place, and the land was somewhere else? No. The 100 sheep and the 100 barrels were on this land.
Sure, where else is he going to put them anyway?
Right? He bought the land. Why is it called Beis Sela? Not because it was the size of a coin.
Worth a
sela. No, it was worth a lot more. But it was rock, like a sela. But so what? For Kenyan, you can acquire. Why not? Why shouldn't you be acquiring? So the Gemara says, okay, Toshma, let's try another story, another proof. Damer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Maise ba'odam echot shechole b'Yerushalayim. There's a guy that became sick in Yerushalayim. It happens. Ki Rabbi Lezer, either according to Rabbi Lezer's opinion, I'll explain to you in the story, in a second, v'amler bari hoya. Some people say he was healthy, ki Rabbanim. What does this mean? It's like this. There's a din of a shchiv meira.
Yeah?
Shchiv meira. Okay? Shchiv meira is a person who's dying. Okay? Shchiv meira. That's the expression in the Gemara, all over Shas. Shchiv meira means a person who's dying. Now, normally, if I say to you, I'm a healthy person, I'm saying to you, I'm giving you something, until the acquisition is made, it's worthless. Right? I say to you, I'm giving you the Empire State Building, even if it's mine, it doesn't mean anything, unless there was a Kenyan. Right? But the Chachamim were very sympathetic, Chachamim were very caring people, and they said, if a Shchiv Meira, a guy who's dying, says, I'm giving you a present, Chacham said, even if no acquisition was done, it's valid Kenyan. Why?
Because it's a deathbed wish.
Because it's a deathbed wish, and the Chacham want to make the guy dying feel good. If Bezin's going to say, well, no, the guy got to pick it up and go and do it, the guy's going to be upset, and he's dying. Chacham said, listen, Shchiv Meira says, you don't need a Kenyan. So now the question is in the Gemara is like this. Rabbi Lazar holds this Shchiv Meira that doesn't need a Kenyan is only when it's on Shabbos.
Even with a dying person?
Yeah. Why? Because Shabbos you're not allowed to make a Kenyan. You're not allowed to acquire things on Shabbos rabbinically because you might come to right. Right? Technically, biblically, you're allowed to do business on Shabbos.
You are?
Biblically.
Okay.
And in shuls. Biblically, you're allowed to do business on Shabbos. The Chachamim say you're not allowed to. Rabbinically, you're not allowed to. Why? Because normally when you do business deals, you write. Right? Chachamim said, you can't. We're afraid you're going to write. It's a gzeira of Mecha Chumemkar. That's why you can't get married on Shabbos. Even though the Four Seasons has weddings every summer, Shabbos, and afternoon. You're not allowed to get...
It's an afternoon.
It's 30.
So now the Chachamim are saying it's not because of the Chesed?
Yeah.
Because it's Shabbos.
No, 1 second. So Chachamim say like this. The Kontra Belazod, Rabbi Eliezer says, the only time the Chachamim said a Shchiv Meira doesn't need a Kenyan is on Shabbos because you're not allowed to make one. So if the guy's going to hear, oh, I got to wait until after Shabbos, so who knows if I'll be alive by then. Chachamim said, you know what, on Shabbos you can't make a Kenyan, you're not allowed to. Because consider it done. But during the week, doesn't work. You need a Kenyan. Chachamim hold, no different Shabbos in the weekday.
Also, it's a difference in opinion.
No. What else is new? Chachamim hold, there's no different Shabbos in the weekday. The Shchiv Meira says something, you don't need a Kenyan. Okay? So the story over here is like this. The guy was sick. Right? Either, like Rabbi Eliezer, that holds it was not Shabbos, because then you need to do a Kenyan.
According to
or according to the Chacham, that Shchiv Meirah never needs a kinyan, the guy wasn't dying. He was just sick, but not deathly ill. Only deathly ill people, do the Chacham say, you don't need a kinyan. Okay? What happens? Again, he said he had a lot of money he wanted to give away as a gift. He wanted to give it as a gift. Amrali, they said to him, there's no way out. Until you sell them, acquire them land. And then you could acquire it through the land. The same case as we just had in the previous case. He went and he purchased a base reiva. A base reiva is 104 square amos. Okay? That means 208 square feet. That's basically what it was. And he said like this, tefach al tefach lepleini, one tefach by a tefach for this guy, and together with the land, imei meyatzein meyachavius. Okay, now, the guy bought a pretty big piece of land, but he said, I'm giving my friend Yankel 1 3-inch by 3 inches of land, okay? And together with the land, he'll acquire 100 sheep and 100 barrels. Now, there's no way that on 4 3-inch square, you could put 100 cattle and 100 barrels of wine.
Unless you're extremely well organized.
Yeah, well, even then, you can't. So it says, Umeis, and the guy died. V'kim ha-chachamim es devarav. And the Chachamim validated this thing. So therefore, what did the Chachamim do? Chachamim said the guy acquired the metaltalin through the land. Right? So he says, if you're going to say the stuff has to be on the land, tefach al tefach l'may, choze. You can't put 100 sheep and 100 barrels on 3 square inches. It's impossible. So obviously you see from there that it doesn't have to be on the land. Sigmar says no. No, he said no.
So it's only when you have a small piece of land like that that you
right. So he says no. The Gemara, as he's speaking, he said not 100 sheep and 100 barrels. The value of 100 sheep and 100 barrels. So let's say it's $1,000. You could $1,000. You could put on that land.
Right.
But maybe. If you actually give him 100 sheep and 100 barrels, maybe he's not going to need a big piece of land. So we still don't know. And the Gemara says, Hogan Ami Mistabra, by the way. And this is also logic. Why? Because if you think that it's speaking about 100 sheep and 100 barrels, literally, there's an easy way to acquire it. Give him a handkerchief, and you get everything else. One of the kinyanim we learned before is chalipin, exchange. I give you this, you give me that. I give you the handkerchief, you give me the 100 cattle. That's a kinyan. So why did the chacham tell him to buy land?
Or a star also.
No, star can be kinyan metaltal mishtar. But chalipin is good, but not for money. Money, you cannot be kinyan with an exchange, we learned before. So the fact that the guy had to take land, and then he says, together with the land, you're going to get 100 sheep and 100 cattle, 100 barrels. It must mean the money of it. Because money you cannot acquire with chalipin, with the exchange. But if you're talking about cattle and barrels, why in the world did he have to buy land? Chacham said, how can I give it over to my friend? Do a handkerchief exchange and do it. What do you need anything more for?
So it's only... So it has to be talking about the value of these animals?
Right.
They're talking about money in terms of...
No, they said, when he said 100 sheep, 100, he meant the value of it.
So there's no animals involved?
No.
Just money?
The value of the 100 animals and 100 barrels, right.
Because he's saying if it was actual animals, you would have done the handkerchief.
Right.
No, there's no animals involved at all, right? It's just that... Like
that's what the Gemara is answering now.
Money,
right.
Calling it that, how much you could buy with the money.
Correct. So therefore, so the Gemara says, Ela my demes, if that's the case, you're talking about money. Nikna Nale b'mashich, he could acquire the money by picking it up. Why did the guy need land to acquire the money? Why didn't he just pick it up? So he said, you know why? The lesser l'makabu maton, obviously the guy wasn't there to pick it up, the receiver. If that's the case, Ochanami, the lesser l'makabu maton, then the guy wasn't there to do chalipin either. The Gemara is asking, you telling me that he couldn't do the exchange because it wouldn't acquire money. So the Gemara says, one minute. Okay, so it's money. How did the guy get it? By acquiring the land? Why didn't he just pick up the money? So we must say, because the guy wasn't there, the receiver. If the receiver's not there, you can't do a handkerchief trickery exchange either.
Oh, right.
Trying to find the longer thing. That's how. Right. So this, and Mar says, okay, let him do it through another person, because then you can acquire something for me. So why couldn't he do the exchange with somebody else to acquire the money? So he says, Loi Sam Chadaiti, maybe the guy doesn't want to do that. Why? The agent will steal the money. Will take the money and go off with it. So what does it mean? So therefore, what does the Gemara mean? There was no other choice. The fact that you weren't happy with other people doing it for you. There's no other case. Only to do it through land. But the Gemara still has no proof if the money needs to be on the land. I mean, the items need to be on the land, or they don't need to be on the land.
What's that last part you said, though? I got confused. Right before that, you said something.
No, I'm saying if the guy wasn't there.
Because he didn't want to trust somebody else.
Right. What did you say? Therefore, if that's the case, how can you acquire it? How can the receiver? Obviously, the receiver wasn't there. He doesn't want an agent.
Right.
So the Gemara says, so therefore the rabbi said to him, listen boy, you don't want to have an agent do it for you?
And you're not there.
The only way you could do it is by buying land and having the money on the land and let him acquire the money that way.
But he's not there.
Right, but he could have still acquired that way.
Oh, by having somebody else?
No, then he would hold it for him, whatever, but at least the guy acquired it.
Oh, really? So the guy could put the
Because the guy died.
He died,
so he wanted to give it to his friend before he died.
Right,
he wanted to give it before he died. So it would be the only way, the way it works.
Isn't the din of Shimra is more, not just to be nice, but to go outside of his will, right? To go against his children.
No, it could be the guy didn't have any children, by the way.
Right, but it's a steer on the din of Yerusha, right? The din of Shimra, right?
No, somebody could give a gift before they die and the kids don't inherit it. What do you think people do today? Okay, today, according to Torah law, firstborn gets double, girls get nothing. You know that. Okay. So now, a parent, let's say, has five kids. Two boys, three girls, three boys, two girls, whatever, yeah? He doesn't want only the boys get and not the girls. Now, if he dies, it's from biblical law, Yerusha, the boys are going to get everything, the girls will get nothing. So how do they set it up today with these living wills and trusts and all that? Basically, it works that the guy leaves over some money for Yerusha. Let's say $10 for Yerusha. And the rest of the stuff, he gives away a minute before he dies.
That's what I just said. Right. Because according to you, exactly, you have to use the din of Shemira.
Well, that's what I'm saying. No, even without Shemira, he can give it to, as a healthy person.
Oh.
He can write. A guy has a right to do whatever he wants with his money, most of the time. A guy has a right to say, he could be 10 years old. No, he has to be bar mitzvah. Guy could be 20 years old. He can write a will, okay? That 1 minute before I die, I'm giving a present to all my kids equally. Then it's not Yerusha. Yerusha is only after the guy dies.
They're not going to know for sure that he's going to die. How are they going to know that he's going to
die? No, whenever he dies, he says, whenever I die, this becomes effective 1 minute before I die. It's not like the guy on the bus that says, get off the stop before me. It says, 1 minute before I die, whenever that minute is, you don't have to write, it's going to be 10:58. Whatever that minute is before I die, that's when the gift becomes effective. And that's the way they do it today.
And that's okay?
Why not? You could do whatever you want with your money when you're alive. You could do whatever you want with it.
Because it's a...
So it says in Halacha, you shouldn't do it with all the money, because then you're taking away the concept of Yerusha. So you leave over $10, $50, $100 for Yerusha, and in that money the Bchor gets double, and yeah, the boys get something and the girls get nothing, but the bulk of the money is given out.